The songs that we sang couldn't have been more applicable to what we're going to talk about. And I sent them the PowerPoint, and I had never heard of the word, the song "Worn." But I wish I could project the words again. I get Karen to print out the words and hand it to you before next week, because it really talks about what we're going to talk about. And then "Bless the Lord, O my soul," that last verse, it's straight out of the passage that we're going to talk about. And that's 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. Entitled this, "Don't Lose Heart." Okay? We don't want to lose heart. That's the roadway to life. Now, here's a scripture. I mean, here's a quote from one of my favorite authors of all time. I took a class in seminary called The Works of C.S. Lewis, and I think we had to read most of his works. But I want us to read this, look at it, and then let's talk a little bit about it. "Hardships often prepare ordinary people for an extraordinary destiny." Hardships often prepare ordinary people. I don't know if I call myself ordinary, probably less than ordinary. Okay? But how do we relate to that? How do hardships prepare us? Somebody. Yeah, go ahead. Okay, bring us closer to God.
They allow you to help other people in similar circumstances later.
Okay. Yes, Roger.
They make you aware of your inadequacies and kind of bring humility into your life, which then makes you more dependent on God, which in the already said.
Right. So hardship often prepare us, and you could fill in ordinary with anything else, okay, for an extraordinary destiny. We're going to talk about some people that's the case of our scripture today. Okay. Do not lose heart. Now, that slide forgot the most important word. Okay. Most of you have what before do? Yeah. Or therefore, or something to the phrase referring back to previous verses. Okay. Therefore, do not lose heart. Though our outward man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. An awful lot in that passage, which is why we probably won't finish today. Okay? So, what I need somebody to do for me is read verses 14 and 15 for me. If somebody's got, go ahead, Ben.
Chapter 4.
Yes.
"Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God."
Okay. Then it goes on and says, therefore. Okay? Anybody that's taken any Greek or Hebrew or any other languages, whether it's Latin, German, Spanish, whatever else, it's the phrases, the words like therefore that we need to be really listening to. Because in that case, therefore is the term of conclusion. It's a term of conclusion because there's the hope of the resurrection. Right? Okay, if you don't believe it, sometime read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, especially verses 41 to the end of the chapter. Okay, why Paul wrote. "It's therefore because of the spread of grace, salvation, and spiritual welfare of the saints at Corinth. It's therefore because the fact that God was being greatly glorified. Okay. Paul's explaining why he is able to minister and preach as he does in face of such afflictions. And did Paul face a lot of afflictions? Okay, go back to 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians and that very familiar passage in chapter 12 when he starts to tell us about everything that he's gone through. Wow. You know, I feel guilty to think of I'm facing afflictions when I read that. So, let's go talk about it. Okay? Do not lose heart. Okay. Do not lose heart. Lose heart comes from a Greek word that you can fragment with two phrases, a preposition and a word. Ek. And anytime you see word ek in Greek, it intensifies the meaning. Beware, okay? It's just going to magnify it. And the other part means bad. Okay? Literally means to give in to evil. Okay, that's what lose heart means. Because your eyes are going to be focused on something other than Christ, and it's going to be focused on circumstances. So let's look a little bit of what losing heart means. It means to become weary in or tired of doing something. How many of us are tired of daily grinds? Routines. The same old of life. We got a lot of school teachers here. Okay? I think the hardest part I have is at teaching. And I've been in education for about 40 years now. It's just the same old, same old. Oh, if I got to do one more skills test, or if you're a biology teacher, I got to do one more talking about whatever, X, okay? You know, he's saying losing heart sometimes is simply as becoming weary and just doing life. You know, why do people get into drugs? Why do people do other stuff? Because they lose heart, okay? They get tired of the daily grind of life. Anytime you want to speak, just hold and speak. The other part of losing heart means you lose one's motivation in continuing a desirable pattern of conduct. You know, you don't see immediate results. I've been praying for this person for 45 years. I've been witnessing. I've been going to church, but I'm not getting any blessings. Well, okay, that's in our mind. We're not getting blessings. And so we lose motivation. Okay? January 1st. What happens to most people on January 1st? What do we make? Yeah, we make resolutions. And about 1 week later, we lose motivation. Or one day, right? or some of us have got smart and don't do it. But, you know, we get tired, and so we lose motivation, and life just becomes drudgery. We become faint-hearted or despondent in view of a trial or difficulty. You know, I will share this a lot. This last 7 years has been a grind. I hate to see my wife suffer the fourth time. And her time of recovery gets shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. And so when she gets a cold like she's got now, sinusitis, she can't fight it. And we've all been through stuff worse than that. A wayward kid. A health issue that seems, whatever, okay? All of us could fill life. And we become faint-hearted. We become despondent in view of trial and difficulty. And finally, we become exhausted, giving up. And in a lot of cases, we say, okay, whatever you want, just take me. Okay. I couldn't have been Job. I couldn't have been Job. I probably would have lost it, trial number one. You know, he couldn't even rely on his best friends or his wife at times. Okay? We get exhausted. And what happens when we get physically and emotionally exhausted? What happens to our body? It gets sick. I know I get sick because I just wear myself down. I mean, I've got a lot of my former students here, a few of my former students here. And I just went on and on and on and on and on and on. And finally, if I was going to be absent, it was just because I wore myself down. Do not lose heart. Whether that's becoming weary, losing motivation, faint-hearted, exhausted. Yes, Karen.
You shouldn't be giving into evil. You don't want to say that.
Right.
But you want to help them get to it themselves that they can.
Right. And remember, that's yes, go ahead.
Giving into evil is like giving up on God.
Yeah.
So I understand that that's what you're doing. You're finally saying, okay, God, you haven't done it for me, so I just give up. And so you give into evil.
When I was working on this, and this has been in my mind for a lot, this quote really hit me square in the face. And I don't know much about Robert Greene Ingersoll. Okay, I need to look it up. That's one of the things I didn't have time to look up, and who he was and how this quote came in existence. But he said this, "The greatest test of courage on earth is to bear defeat without losing heart." How do we bear defeat without losing heart? We all should be able to answer that real quick.
Accept the situation and move on.
Okay, that's good.
Fueled by our hope.
Okay. Yeah, my question was supposed to be one of those rhetorical questions, as Jason says. How do we bear? Can we bear? No. Yeah. And some of you got it, okay? We can't bear defeat ourselves, okay? If we do, that's what's going to happen. We're going to become weary. We're going to lose motivation. We're going to become faint-hearted. We're going to become exhausted. Fill in the blank. Okay? The greatest test of courage on earth, and we're going to talk about some people besides scriptures that did a great job of that, is to bear defeat without losing heart. Yes? Yes. Yeah, and I will send this to anybody who wants to get sent to. All right, will it be on? It'll be on.
No. Online,
okay,
but
I can send it. Yeah. I'll send it.
Email me and I'll send it to you.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so. Last thing on do not lose heart. Let's look at some of the some of my favorite quotes, and I just barely picked a few. Famous American quotes that said, "Don't give up." And before anybody says, yes, I'm perfectly aware that I've forgotten a couple of the most famous ones, like Churchill. Okay? I understand that. I've forgiven one of my favorite coaches of all time, Coach V, who were raising a lot of money for cancer awareness, that in the ESPYs kept on saying, never give up, never give up, never give up. If you ever want to get motivated by a great sports speech, you know, Google Coach V's last message to his troops, his fellow athletes. But here's a couple of them, okay? One is Eddie Rickenbacker. He's a World War I fighter pilot. He had 26 victories. Okay, a lot of people don't have one. And he said this, "My mother, a very poor woman in Columbus, Ohio, taught her kids to pray, to read the Bible, to follow Jesus, and never give up." I think that's pretty simple, right? To pray without ceasing, to read her Bible daily, to follow Christ, and never give up, okay? I think that's very wise. I think no wonder he could have 26 victories. Coach Bear Bryant, at the time of this writing, was the winningest football coach of all time. He isn't now, but he was. He's the coach of the Crimson Tide in Alabama, if people don't know. He said, "Don't give up at halftime. Concentrate on winning the second half." How many of us have seen football games or watched football games or baseball games or basketball games when we felt like there was not a chance in the world that we were going to win? Yeah. Wait, we get all the thing, okay? I remember watching in 1974, I think it was 74, I may get my date wrong, but USC was behind like 20-something to nothing to Notre Dame, and it ended up 55 to 20-something USC, okay? Anthony Davis went off for 6 touchdowns, and did, okay? We've seen it, you know, the Super Bowl when Washington Redskins were way behind and they came back, okay? We all have those times in our imagination that we wanted to give up at halftime, okay? There's not a chance in the world we're going to win. There's always a chance. And with Christ, there's always a chance. And then Michael Jordan, probably the greatest basketball player of all time, said, "If you run into a wall," which I've done plenty of times, "you don't turn around and give up. You figure out how to climb it, go through it, or work around it." Okay? You always find up, okay? Remember, do not lose heart. Okay, that's what they're saying. Do not lose heart. We've got a lot more motivation than the last two. We have Christ. So, before we go on, let's bridge a gap and look at the last thing. So, here's another translation of this verse. "So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside where God is making new life, not a day goes by without His unfolding grace." Okay, I love this. That was a beautiful, neat translation of that verse. Okay? Read it again. "So we're not giving up. How could we?" Well, or could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart. We're going to talk about the outside. He calls it the old man in another translation. Okay, and most of us in here are not old. Okay, I'm speaking about myself and whoever else. Okay, on the inside where God is making new life. So let's look at that. Let's look at what the passage says as the old man or the outer man. Okay, and we're not talking about just males. Okay, anybody. Okay, we are going to grow old. Or some of us are already growing old. Okay, we're going to become weak and feeble. We're going to lose its rigor and elasticity under the many trials which we endure. We're human. Okay, we're not Stretch Armstrong. We're not going to stretch to the thing. We're not, you know, we're not Wonder Woman. We're not, you know, the Incredible Hulk. We can't metamorphosize ourselves into something that we're not. Our body must die and it must decay. Okay? Now, if you don't believe that, that whole passage is in the present tense. Okay? Present tense. And the present tense signifies this process of physical decay and deterioration is unavoidable. Okay? It's going to happen. Okay? I know. I can verify. Okay? Hey, I'm not the only one around here. Okay? We can verify it. Some of it.
I don't believe that for a minute.
Okay.
Is Lou here?
Is what? The seeds of decay and dissolution are in the body from birth. Okay? That once we were born, that process started to take shape. There is no fountain of youth. Okay? We don't have Pancho de Leon in our pockets saying, we have fountain of youth for the outer man. No, we don't. Okay, yes. Now, is some people going to live a lot longer than others? Yes. Have I seen people a lot older than me in a lot better shape than me? Yes. I've ran marathons and got, when I was running less than 3 hours in marathon, which is fast, I was still getting beat by 70-year-olds. Okay? I'm sure Gene could say, you got beaten by lot people a lot older. Okay. The great part of it is that even though our outer man is decaying, the inner man is not or doesn't need to be. So, let's look about the new man. Okay? New man. It's being renewed. Hey, what does that word renew mean? When we say we renew something, what does it mean? Okay, we make it new again, okay? We make it where it was. We're regenerated by the power of the Holy Ghost. Anybody know what happens to lizards? Let me ask the biology teacher here, okay? Dan, if you chopped off a lizard's tail, what's going to happen to it?
It will regenerate.
Okay, it's going to come back, okay? It's going to come back, okay? It's going to make it again. Okay. We're going to get a new man. Okay, if we've been listening to Pastor Bob, or if we've been listening to Roger when he was going through that multiple lessons in Philippians, we're going to new. Or 2 Corinthians 5:17 says what? You're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Okay? Behold, all things become new. Okay? It's the opposite of old. Okay? Our new man is going to be renovated. Okay? When we renovate a house, what do? I haven't done it, so I don't know.
Take the old stuff out and put it in new.
Yeah. We're going to be strengthened. We're going to be invigorated. Okay? Older on the outside, younger on the inside. Okay, I know some of us would like to see that the other way, right? Younger on the outside, younger on the inside too. Okay. Now, you know I had to get science in here someplace. Okay, so let's talk about this renewed man. Okay. We all recognize that symbol. Okay, have we seen it before? Yeah, okay. It's a symbol for renewable energy, okay? Alternative, and that's a big buzzword the last, 10 or 15 years. Ever since Al Gore was running for president. Renewable energy is a catchphrase in our modern world, okay? How it should encourage all saints that our inner man is renewable. Okay? The deposit of the Spirit within us sets in motion a regenerative overhaul of the self that culminates in complete transformation at Christ's return. What I want to focus on, the deposit of the Spirit within us. What kind of deposits do the Spirit leave within us? What are some of the things?
The fruit of the Spirit.
Great. Anything else?
Memorize Scripture.
Okay, good. Okay. And it culminates in the complete transformation at Christ's return. Behold, all things become new. Okay. Read Revelations 22. Read 1 Corinthians 15. Read 2 Thessalonians 4 and 5. We're going to be renewed. Renewed is in the passive voice. Okay. And the passive voice just indicates our inner man is being acted upon by an outside power. Okay, why is the old man decaying? Yeah, it's not being acted upon by anything except life, circumstances, diseases. Viruses, bacteria, bad eating habits, lack of sleep, fill in the blanks. We're being renewed because we're acted upon by an outside power, the supernatural power of God, and especially the Spirit, because that's what Christ left us. He's going to leave us a comforter. Okay, the word comforter means one called alongside of us to help us not to lose heart, to help us not to lose motivation, to help us not, fill in the blank. Okay. I got until about 10, don't I? And then we're going to pray. Okay, so let me just share a couple things, and then I'm going to quit at this point so we can pray. The next verse, the last verse that we're going to talk about, and that's just part of the verse, says, "For momentary light afflictions is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparisons." Now, what we're going to look at in a moment, not today, but is we're going to look at words like momentary. Okay. What does the word momentary mean? And then I'll share my slide. What does the word momentary mean? Okay, just an instant, okay? There's synonyms that we're going to talk about in a second. Okay? So it says that our afflictions are momentary. How many of us feel like our afflictions are momentary? I'm sure if you asked my wife, she's not going to tell me that it's momentary. If you ask people that have gone, like my son, who's been a diabetic since he was age 12, and now he's 36, he's not going to tell you that's momentary, okay? If you ask Corrie Ten Boom, who we'll talk about next week, if you asked her while she was in the concentration camps, did it feel like it was momentary? No. Okay. So we're going to talk about momentary. What does the word light mean?
Small.
Okay, could mean small. You're going to find out some other words that means a few other things. Okay, the word momentary, this is the only time in the scripture it's there in this passage. And as we will find out next week, the word light is found out one other place in the scripture. That word for light. And that's in Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Okay, so it's momentary. It's light, which I don't think any of us would agree with, at least in human speaking. And it's producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. That's where we're going to go, okay? Now, I'm going to go back for a moment. I want to end with the scripture again. Therefore, do not lose heart. Okay? Losing heart means don't lose motivation. Don't give up. Don't let daily grind get to us. Not let the same old happens. You know, find a way. Do not lose heart. Even though our outer man is decaying. That's why we generally lose heart, right? We see the ravages of sin. We see the ravages of physical abnormalities. We see the ravages of loved ones making wrong choices. Do not lose heart. Though our outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed day by day. For a momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Praise the Lord. But the things which are not seen are